This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a good Monday morning to you. May the 3rd of 2021. It is, of course, your favorite way to start the day. DCR on 98.7 ESPN. There's so much to get into. I wish we had 5 or 6 hours, but we don't. So we got to jam-pack it into the 3 hours that we have. We have the draft. We have the Mets win, and I barely can say that. We have the Yankees' great sweep over the Detroit Tigers. Wonderful job by the Yankees. Knicks, ho-hum, just hammering the Rockets and the Nets with a loss, a close, narrow loss to Milwaukee that the country got to see. Let's say good morning. Lot to say. Lot to get into. Let's say good morning. Chris Canty, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. I had a good weekend. My future mother-in-law was in town, so I got a chance to get some FaceTime with her while she spent most of the weekend shopping with my fiance for wedding dresses. So that was pretty cool to see her. And then it was a good sports weekend for me, too. I mean, my Yankees sweep the Tigers. LeBron James is back with the Lakers. The local football teams, including our New York football Giants, had a good draft. It was a good weekend.
All right, so you had a good weekend. Rick, did you have a nice weekend as well?
Pretty good weekend, yeah. I can't complain. Good. I mean, Mets were an inch away from giving me a nervous breakdown last night, but a win's a win. We'll take it. Had a little dirty taco on the Sunday.
What does that mean? What happened?
Dirty
what
taco,
is that about?
I told you. It's the new taco place, Dirty Taco.
Dirty Taco.
Korean short rib tacos, some nachos. Oh, fantastic.
You stuffed your face yesterday.
Stuffed my face. You buried the lead. Islanders qualified for the playoffs. Wrap that up. I don't want to say I told you so, but I mean, you're playing the Rangers, kind of told you so. This is what Varlamov does. This is what he does against the Rangers.
Listen, it's hard for me to argue, but I mean, what do you want me to say? Congratulations. We're going to have a parade because the Islanders, who went to the Eastern Conference Finals, made the playoffs this year?
No, it just goes to show you. It's a lesson to other New York franchises. When you get it right up top and you hire the right coach, good things can happen.
I think that's fair.
You can consistently be a playoff team.
I don't think there's a team in all of sports that have a better GM head coach combination than the Islanders do right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the best, right now, I mean, most consistent, best team in New York right now is the Islanders.
Yes. I think that is fair. I mean, I would say the Nets have a better chance of going further in the postseason, but yes, best, most consistent team right now is the Islanders. You enjoying this? You happy with this?
A lot. Quite a bit, yeah.
You want to spend the whole 3 hours on this?
No. It's 5 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it is. I don't want to talk too much hockey. We'll get in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Get calls any second now. What are you guys doing?
We got to save that for the Saturday show, Dave.
That's right. The big Saturday show, which they've extended, by the way. And I'll tell you about that a little bit later. There's such fans of the Saturday show, they've said, we need more of that. That'll extend into the postseason. Let's start. Now, Jay Williams is going to join us at 5:30. Let's start with the NFL draft, guys. I mean, we'll get into both the locals, 800-919-3776. I will tell you this, and I said this on Twitter and to people I talked to this weekend, and I got all, well, you're a Giants fan, so of course you would take that tack. Yeah, because I'm always so sunshine and roses when it comes to the Giants. I think I'm more than fair, and I think Chris is more than fair when it comes to the Giants. And if they do something we don't like, we rip it to shreds. Chris, I could not love what the Giants did more this draft. I love this draft from Big Blue.
No, I love the draft too, Dave. The only thing I wish they would have done is at some point address the offensive line, being able to add to the talent base that they have with that group. I feel like Dave Gettleman has put a lot of faith in the development of the young players that he's acquired over the last couple of years. But, outside of that, I don't know how you couldn't like what the Giants did. I mean, they targeted areas of need, and they got impact players, guys that can contribute from day one, and he was able to trade back in the first couple of rounds and acquire more draft capital for future years. So there really is no downside to the maneuvering and the picks that Dave Gettleman made this weekend. There really isn't.
No, you got Trader Dave. He went from never trading back in his history to all of a sudden now having the nickname of Trader Dave. And I know you love the fact, Dave, I mean, you're talking about next year where, I mean, we heard it from Jordan, we've heard it from everybody, like how important the 2022 picks are going to be because mm-hmm. you're going to have, you know, a legitimate combine, the medicals and everything else. You get a chance to watch these guys actually play a full season and scout.
And it's a deep draft to begin with.
And it's a deep draft. And again, I mean, we mentioned this last week, if God forbid things don't work out with Daniel Jones, you've put yourself in a good spot. You have the two first-round picks. You pick up an extra third. You pick up an extra fourth next year. And you got, I mean, you got the fact. Here's what really impressed me is we spent weeks and weeks and weeks with people calling in, what should the Giants do at 11? And we would say, you know, they put themselves in a great spot. We all thought maybe offensive line. Gettleman's adamant that apparently we're undervaluing the talent they already have on the offensive line, which I think is, I don't know. We'll see how that works out for
them. It's a concern. I agree.
It's a concern. But we're like, I mean, anyone we ask, Jordan would call. You think they'll trade back? Nah, 99% they're not going to trade back. And then we had Mike T on. Mike, what do you think they'll do at 11? And he starts going through names. And I'll tell you now, what impressed me the most is they were able to trade back the way that they traded back. And Mike T, the name he kept bringing up every single time we asked them because they need edge pass rush was Ojulari Georgia. Ojulari Georgia. And he's saying at the 11th overall pick.
Right.
And you got him at 50.
Yeah, they didn't even get him at 42. There was a lot of conversation. They might want him at 11, right? So they move back to 20, and they still could have had him. They don't take him there. They're picking 42. They could have had him. They don't take him there. They get another third-round pick, and they still get him at 50? And I know that there's concerns about the knee, and I guess he has arthritis and a bad knee, but mm-hmm. they said they had Dr. Andrews completely check him out. And the Giants medical staff, Chris, and you know this, is very conservative to begin with. So I have to believe that he's going to be healthy.
Yeah, Ronnie Barnes is the best over there at the Giants. I mean, and so when it comes to those medical checks and the rechecks that they do in the pre-draft process, nobody is more thorough than Ronnie Barnes is. And the fact that they did invest a second-round pick in him lets you know that they're comfortable with what they saw in the reports. But, I mean, this is a guy that should be able to contribute in your sub-packages as an edge rusher from day one, Dave. And to me, that's the most important thing. Like, this Giants team has a golden opportunity based on where all the other teams in the NFC East are at. They can compete for a division title this year. And ultimately, this is going to come down to how well Daniel Jones plays. And with the talent that they're surrounding him with, I'd have a hard time seeing the Giants not having a successful season. Like, I fully anticipate the Giants being in a playoff hunt when we get to December in 2021. Like, there would be no excuse as to why that group couldn't get it done. Now, if they don't end up in that situation, I think the two things that we will point to, the offensive line and quarterback play, those would be the only two impediments outside of injury that we would say would keep the Giants from being a postseason team this upcoming season.
Right, and if either of those things are true, that the offensive line stinks, A, you have first of all, they've invested a lot into this offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, they paid Solder a ton of money. They used a fourth overall pick on the left tackle. They used the first or second pick in the second round on the left guard. They used a third-round pick on the right tackle. So, I mean, we have to say they've spent a lot, and they've invested a lot of draft capital. But if it's bad, well, first of all, Gettleman's going to be gone if they have a horrendous season. You're going to have a new GM who you have to think works in conjunction well with Joe Judge. And then they have so much draft capital. And the last thing we want is for Daniel Jones to be bad. Nobody wants that. You want him to be good and him to be the Giants quarterback for a long time. But God forbid he's awful. I mean, you see a way to an immediate fix. If it's Deshaun Watson, if it's Russell Wilson, if it's Aaron Rodgers, if there's a quarter. And also, if he's really bad, you have to imagine you're going to have a top 10 pick in the draft as well. So now you're going to have a top 10 draft pick. And the Bears pick, if there's a quarterback you love in the draft, you can move up and get that guy. So, again, you don't want the Giants to be bad, but I think even if they are, you can see an easy fix coming next offseason.
Yeah, but I have a hard time believing that they're going to be bad.
I agree with you.
Okay, no, I know you agree with me. You're just going, you know, worst-case scenario because that's who you are. But, I mean, the one thing that they have done, and again, I mean, Chris, you make a great point. I don't know if it's – and Lewis Riddick kind of mentioned this. Well, you're not going to take an offensive lineman because it would just scream to people that you're not good at your job because you've already invested so much in the offensive line, which I think mm-hmm. is a stupid reason not to take an offensive lineman.
Very stupid reason.
That's just like prideful. That's ridiculous if that's what you're doing.
No, and I'm hoping that's not the case. So let's just pretend for a second that the offensive line is going to be good. Like Andrew Thomas with a legitimate offseason and everything else and preseason games, that offensive line, coming together, gelling second year in the offense, they'll be better. There won't be any excuses for Daniel Jones with what they've invested in this offense. Like you'll get an answer one way or another. Either he's going to be a franchise quarterback or he's not. I mean, tell me the excuse. Look at the amount of weapons that they put around him. And tell me what you could use an excuse outside of offensive line.
That's it.
Nothing.
Only offensive line. It's the only potential thing that you could use. And you know what? I think people are probably sick of that, honestly, at this point. I mean, if the offensive line is hideous, I guess maybe that'll be an excuse, but I don't think people want to hear that anymore. Either you produce in year three or you don't, and you have a million weapons to use.
Yeah, I think it's a similar situation to where Sam Darnold found himself last year, Dave. Like, yep. The offensive line was bad, but it still didn't matter when it came to evaluating the player, just based on where the team was at with their program and the draft capital that they had in the upcoming offseason. So I feel like Daniel Jones is in a very similar situation. The only difference is there's a hell of a lot more talent around Daniel Jones. A hell of a lot more talent. So there isn't really any excuse. And the offensive line, I get it. I understand it. It's not ideal. But you name me, you tell me how many quarterbacks have the ideal situation when it comes to everything on that side of the ball. Like, there's usually something that a quarterback is going to have to overcome, whether it's skill position players, whether it's the offensive line, or hell, even having a bad play caller. Like, at some point, your quarterback is going to have to overcome something in order to help the offense produce. And going into his third year, it's about time that Daniel Jones show why Dave Gettleman invested the sixth overall pick. I mean, that's a player that at some point is supposed to elevate the talent around him. Now, he ain't going to have a whole lot of elevating to do when it comes to the skill position players because they're that damn good. But with that offensive line, he's going to have to find a way to be able to navigate around that. That cannot be an excuse for him in year three. It just can't.
Yeah, and I think you started to see that. Like, I mean, before he got hurt, right, when all of a sudden it kind of – Jason Garrett had a better idea of, athletically what Daniel Jones was capable of doing. And you started to see, more of the zone read stuff and what that did for the running game. I mean, that's going to continue to get better, right? I mean, with legitimate offseason and everything else, that's going to get better. And now all of a sudden you add, a Saquon Barkley, he's your best offensive player. You didn't have him for last season. You bring him back, he's healthy. And now with Kenny Golladay, what he can do. And we mentioned this on Friday, Tony's skill set is something that you don't have at that position. Like, he adds a whole new element to your offense at the wide receiver position.
Completely changes the dynamic of this team. And here's
like the things you were missing, you added. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like everything that you needed. Like, we need a big wide, we need a number one wide receiver that
got 50, that
50-50 balls. Eli had success with those kind of receivers too. With like a Plaxico Burress.
Plaxico, absolutely.
So you added that. You got a red zone, Kyle Rudolph, red zone threat. Where you struggled. I mean, the second worst offense in the league. You got Saquon back. Now all of a sudden you got this gadget guy in Tony who, you give him the ball behind the jet sweeps, whatever, behind the line of scrimmage. This dude, as far as yards after catch, which the Giants were awful at last season, that's another element that you add to this. In the second year of Jason Garrett.
Right. So think about what they added. For all intents and purposes, they added an elite running back in Saquon Barkley, because he wasn't there last year.
Yep.
At Kenny Golladay, Kyle Rudolph, and Kadarius Toney. That's a lot of offensive talent to add in one offseason. A lot.
Yeah, and you're going to get Nate Solder back. And who knows what Nate Solder's going to be, but he can only help.
Right. Not going to hurt you. If he's awful, he's not going to play. So I really do. I love – if you offered this to me right now, you could take Devontae Smith, or you can have Toney, next year's one, a 4 and a 5 from Chicago, I'm not even thinking about it, to be honest with you. I'm taking the trade every single day.
No, it's a great trade, Dave. I mean, there's no bones about it. I mean, Dave Gettleman didn't see the value with the players that were on the board at 11. Chicago was desperate for a quarterback, and they paid you a hefty price in order to move up. And I think it sets the Giants up not only for success this year, but what you could potentially need going into next season, whether or not you have a quarterback, you have some flexibility with the draft capital that you do have. You have flexibility in terms of what you would need to do if you got to address that position. But if Daniel Jones does prove to be your guy, you can continue to fill out this roster. and you can add top-end talent at low cost through the draft. So, I mean, I just feel like the Giants are in a really good spot right now, and I think they've given themselves every chance to see whether or not Daniel Jones is their guy, which is the most important question that Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman have to answer in 2021.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You're familiar with the work of one Field Yates, Rick, correct?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Yeah, does it a very nice job, yes?
Fantastic, yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, and Chris, if you saw this tweet from him. May 1st is what? Saturday. Okay.
Saturday, yep.
He says, on Thursday, Urban Meyer said on ESPN NFL Draft broadcast that a player was taken before their selection at 25 that, quote, broke our heart to not be able to pick. Today he revealed that very player was new Giants wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Such an unbelievably dynamic player. How can that not make you feel good if you're a Giants fan?
Of course it makes you feel good. I mean, again, and it we heard going in, it was Waddle and it was Devontae Smith. And then, I mean, the fact that Chicago came up, gave you the first-round pick, and now, I mean, an extra fourth-round pick, too, next year because you traded the fifth-round pick. I mean, this guy is – he has the kind of skill set that the Giants lack at that position.
No question about it. No question about it.
I can imagine it's a guy that Joe Judge is going to like having too, because Joe Judge comes from special teams, and what this guy can do, you know, returning punts. That element to his game is also something that I would be excited about.
Yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney is a big play waiting to happen. Like what he does with the ball when he gets it in his hands, I mean, it's special, Dave. Like I compare it to Antonio Brown in terms of his movement skills and what he can do yards after catch. And Rick mentioned this in the first segment, but the Giants were the worst team with yards after catch in the entire league last year. So he's going to add some punch to that receiving core in terms of a guy that could present an early target for Daniel Jones, somebody that can dump the ball to, quicken the down, and then that guy can turn that into a big play. Like, you didn't have that on your offense last year. You didn't have that element. The Giants were one of the worst teams when it came to explosive plays overall offensively. So, I mean, Kadarius Toney added with Kenny Golladay and Kyle Rudolph and getting Saquon Barkley back, that should help make that offense more dynamic. And that's exactly what you need when you're trying to get answers for your young quarterback in Daniel Jones.
Honestly, I haven't been this excited about the Giants in probably 5 or 6 years, at least. I mean, it's been a long time since I've had this kind of optimistic outlook. All right, let's get to some of the calls. We'll get to the Jets as well, and then Jay Williams a little after 5:30. Tyler in L.A., going West Coast. Tyler, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
I just wanted to give Dave Gettleman a lot of props here. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious the Eagles kicked the Giants square in the nads, trading ahead of them. And the fact that they, you know, didn't overreach for their guy because they probably were going to take Devontae anyways, and they were able to trade back on the spot there and get the guy that they wanted and trade him back. Because in the previous years, you know, like, the Giants are sort of known for overreaching for their guy. You can make the argument that they could have traded back and got Daniel Jones later than they did. And you could same thing last year. You could make the argument that they could have traded back and taken Thomas later. So the fact that they were able to do it on the spot after the Eagles sort of kicked them square in the cojones is a lot of props.
Yeah, but Tyler, I don't know if I agree with that, Tyler. I don't think you mess around with your quarterback. I mean, if Daniel Jones is the guy that they wanted, you want him, you take him. And then as far as Andrew Thomas is concerned, I mean, they had their choice of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And the jury's still out. Like, I mean, he wasn't the guy that we would have picked on this show. But, I mean, again, I'm not trying to make excuses for the kid, but no offseason program, no preseason and everything else. And that's one of those, I mean, left tackle, offensive line is a group that needs time to gel. And they didn't get that kind of time.
No, they didn't get that kind of time, Rico. But of the four offensive tackles that were taken in the first round last year, Andrew Thomas was clearly at the bottom of that list. Tristan Wirfs had a great year. Jedrick Wills had a great year. And Mekhi Becton, we see what he can do. So, I mean, I just feel like that even if Andrew Thomas ends up being a solid left tackle, I mean, that's still somewhat of an indictment on Dave Gettleman in comparison to what those other guys were. But, I mean, listen, big picture, Dave Gettleman did a really good job with this draft. I mean, I don't know how you could grade it other than an A. I don't know if you could put any other letter grade on it, because that's how solid this draft was. He addressed a lot of different needs, and he got a lot of great value. And so you got to give him his props, but I think you also got to give props to Joe Judge. I mean, it's clear that his fingerprints are on this draft as well. And Jordan Renan talked a little bit about it on Friday, but just seeing the influence that he's had in the pre-draft process. And then, of course, the Giants actually trading down at the top of the first round and then again in the second round. That's something that Dave Gettleman has never done in his career before. 54 draft picks, never traded down. So Joe Judge has had some say in this process. And as a Giants fan, Dave, I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but more Joe Judge is a really good thing for Big Blue.
I think it's a great thing. I think that you see his influence on this organization, and I think you have to be excited because they did well in the draft, and the future draft, they have a lot of capital. So I think you have to be thrilled. Let's go to Fran in Massapequa. Good morning, Fran. You're on 98.7.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Nice.
What's
got
going
some
on, Fran?
This morning, Fran. Welcome.
What's up, Dave?
Welcome aboard.
Just got done playing some poker.
Oh, you're in a bender. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I got in the car. I said, that's right, the boys are on.
Nice. Did
you
win? Are you got heavy pockets this morning?
Yeah, I did all right. I did all right. What happens is I'm a pretty good player, so I get put up, you know? So I always seem to make out pretty good.
Good for you,
I don't have
friend.
To put any money out of my pocket, which is the greatest thing in the world.
So I could imagine being at a poker table tonight. Dave, could you imagine staying up right now? Where we're at in our lives, could you imagine being up at a poker table at 4 a.m.?
I fell asleep during the Mets game last night. Like, fell asleep and woke up. I was like, wait, what happened? I was so confused. Like, what happened? And that was like 10:15. So, no, I could not imagine. But go ahead, Fran.
I've been doing things like this my whole life, so that's why I'm not married. I got a girlfriend. She got her own place, so I got a real good situation.
You're really growing
on.
Up, Fran. This is great. Congratulations.
And listen, you guys are great. Rick, I am one of the biggest Islander fans you'll ever meet.
Oh, here we go.
I love you. You're an awesome guy. You did good for the Islanders. You had a couple of setbacks, you know, injuries, but you're a solid guy. I go at it with Ranger fans all the time. I try not to get on Dave because he's awesome, you know what I mean?
And, oh, yeah, and he's not really a Rangers fan. I can understand it.
The other guy sitting with you guys is unbelievable. I love his attitude. He's awesome.
As great as it is to hear how much you like all of us, can for the love of God, can we please get to the point?
Don't
we're
you be
to
mean
here?
To Fran? Don't you, all of a sudden
I'm
your tune changes because he's an Islanders fan?
You understand that we have to break. Dave. We have bills to pay. We got Jay Williams coming up. We got Kenny Canty, and Fran is and I love Fran, but yammering. I like you, and he's recapping your career, Rick. Just to let you know, you were really good, but there were some moments where the injuries got in your way. I mean, did you not know this? Is this news to you?
I was trying to forget all those injuries, but I'm glad Fran brought them back.
Well, thank God for that call.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the Super Bowl. Rick, thanks for all those injuries. It was great.
No, I'm that other guy sitting in, Rico.
The other guy.
I'm that other guy.
But he loves you. He loves your attitude.
You have a great attitude,
Fran.
Chris.
I'll tell you what, I could have used Fran's expertise with the poker. Some of those plane trips.
Oof. Yeah. Lost a lot of money on those West Coast trips, Rico.
Oh, it's the West Coast trips will get you, man, because you got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You want to buy back in? Ah, we got, 3 hours left? Of course I'll buy back in.
Yeah. It's all good until you got to pay that bill when you get in the locker room the next time.
You know, or one of the guys loses so much money that he can't play. Like, he just mentally shuts down for 2 weeks. And they cancel the poker game.
How much money are we talking about that guys are losing that they really feel and they're really upset? We're talking about like over 10 grand?
Dave, one time we had a guy have to buy another guy a Jaguar. Yeah. They were playing Bure.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
He got booed, and the pot doubled, and he ended up having to buy a guy a car.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
You can control, guys are pretty good, like, as far as when we play and hold them, like, kind of controlling themselves. Like, the one guy I'm talking about lost over 10 grand, yeah, and didn't want to tell his wife, so he was just, he shut right down, like, couldn't play for, like, 2 weeks, so they canceled the game. But, like, when you start playing, like, AC Ducey, whew. Guys start hitting posts and everything else. That's when you get like carnage. Like, I saw a guy lose a motorcycle playing AC Ducey.
Oh my God.
He's like, I'm done with the cash. I want my motorcycle. I was like, okay, put up your motorcycle.
Wait, you won it?
Oh. No, I didn't win it.
Oh, you said, okay, put up your motorcycle.
No, I didn't say that. No, I ain't doing that. Although you can have my motorcycle now. It's like a piece of furniture.
You'd willingly put up the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Jay Williams, of course, one of the letters on that show. A lot of letters on the station. We bring him in right now. Jay, before we get started, with the sports world. Congratulations on your new baby.
Thanks, man. A little baby boy named Zane David. Haven't been able to sleep in the past 3 weeks. But, you know, I am here working, watching sports tirelessly. And I can say, guys, now I feel the energy is better. Because last time I came on, Rick and Dave, we stole CeCe. I shouldn't call him CeCe anymore. I should call him the other guy as opposed to the last caller. And now I feel like you guys are back. You guys are back as one unit. So everything's good. We're in a good place.
That's right. We like you much more than we did that day where you kept stealing our co-host. But
yeah.
let's get into it. I'm a Giants fan. You're a Giants fan. I haven't felt really great about the Giants in a long time.
I
do right now. Do you agree with that? Do you feel really good about what the Giants, A, have done in the draft, and B, the future and what they have moving forward?
So I'm going to take a swing as a fan. I think this is the best draft in the Gettleman era, right? I felt like we were prepared in round one. Look, I would have loved to have get Penei Sewell. Obviously, Detroit was able to get him. I can't believe Cincinnati passed on him. But reading the room, not having Devontae Smith available, okay, you trade back. First time in nine seasons. First time in nine NFL drafts that Gettleman decides to trade back. Okay, we get a boatload. A boatload for it. Draft is starting off good for me. Okay, reading the board correctly in round two. I like it. Trade back eight spots, adding the 2022 third pick, right, and getting Ojulari. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, fine. Moving up to round three for Aaron Robinson. Okay, only cost us a fifth-round pick from the Bears. I love what the Giants have done here. Now, I'm sure some people would say, oh, you could have gotten Quiddy Pay. You know, there's other pieces. But, like, I'm cool with what has happened with where the Giants are. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Danny Dimes. I've heard John Mara talk about it multiple times, but there should be pressure on Danny Dimes. I'm ready to see us be at full strength and be healthy. And let's go get this NFC East. It's because it's open. It's wide open.
Yeah, I mean, it was clear. They were taking a wide receiver with their first-round pick. I mean, that's what they were targeting. So, Jay, in saying all that, you love the draft. You love what Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman did. When you look at the landscape of the NFC East, and again, I know it mostly hinges on how good Daniel Jones and this offense is going to be because they were terrible last year. Where would you put the Giants right now as far as chances to win the NFC East?
I would put them 1B. I would put them 1B behind the Cowboys. And it's just because every single year I have no idea what the Cowboys are going to do. And I know they were looking for their two corners. They traded back and they got a nice piece. But, I mean, look, as long as if Dan Quinn can shore up that defense, I think the Cowboys would be pretty good. Their talent speaks for itself offensively when Dak Prescott is playing on top of his game. I don't know what the hell is happening with the Washington football team. You know, look, you're bringing Fitzy. I know he's a guy that could be suitable. I think that's a step back for them in Philadelphia, obviously, with, you know, their young quarterback, Jalen Hurts. I like the piece that they were able to add with Devontae, but still, that's still so many things happening there. So, look, they're knocking on the door. They're right there. We'll just see how Dallas can actually pan out. But that's a question we ask every year, isn't it?
Sure is. Jay, I got to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. Now, both the Packers and the player are pretending to be upset that news got out right before the first round late last week that the quarterback said he wasn't coming back. But what's your take on that Packers situation? How do you think it plays out?
I wonder, is Brett Favre going to come out and speak the same volumes that he did about, you know, D. Watson on Aaron Rodgers? I think, you know, when guys say they don't want to be a part of something anymore, even though I saw the Kentucky Derby, he said all the right things. The fact that leaked out, it seems like from a collateral perspective, like everybody in Green Bay is like, hey, we love you. We're committed to you. We want to be here. This is what we want. And now that coming out, it puts Aaron Rodgers in a bad situation. Look, I would not be shocked. CeCe, I would love to hear your opinion on this. If we just didn't see Aaron Rodgers play, if we saw him host Jeopardy, make several million dollars, take some time, spend it with Shailene, his fiance, his wife-to-be, figure out a location where, hey, I'm focused on my family, I focus on what's next, and then, you know, if he's able to get, you know, a leave from the Packers, then start somewhere new in a year. I that's the way I kind of see it.
Well, here's the thing. I think that would probably be the most surprising outcome of this whole scenario with him not playing in 2021. But the other thing to keep in mind is his agent is the same agent that Carson Palmer had when he forced his way out of Cincinnati and he ended up going out west to play. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that he couldn't stonewall the Packers and not play. But the one thing I will say is that the Packers have to look at it as having an asset, Like, they have an asset in Aaron Rodgers, and if he won't play for you, then it behooves you to get the most in return for that asset, knowing that you already have your successor in place to take over. So I just,
but
I don't know, Jay.
Is Jordan Love really the successor?
I would be surprised.
Is Jordan Love really the successor? Because I've heard people, friends of mine, that watched him this year, and sometimes they would say to me, like, they don't think he belongs on the field.
Well, I mean, he had relatively no offseason because of COVID, so you have to factor that into the equation. And when they drafted him, he was looked at as a developmental project. It's hard to develop when you're not playing in the actual game. So
that's fair.
I don't know how much stock I put into the early reviews of Jordan Love just because we haven't seen him on the NFL stage. They clearly have a conviction about him because they drafted him in the first round knowing what that would do to Aaron Rodgers. Like, the first draft pick that you had on the offensive side of the ball in the last 9 years – was the quarterback to replace Aaron Rodgers. So they knew that this was going to rankle their star quarterback, but they still went ahead and took him. They've got to believe in the talent.
I just find it ironic that this whole thing revolves around communication and the lack of communication from the front office to Aaron Rodgers that they were drafting Jordan Love. The lack of communication about, hey, third down, we're going to give you a fourth down opportunity or not. Now we're going to kick a field goal between Matt LaFleur. Now all of a sudden it's like, whoa, now we want great lines of communication. It's just ironic how it all falls together that way, isn't it?
It certainly is. Jay Williams with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We know you got to go. Do you want a legitimate, difficult question, which may make you take a moment, or do you just want to go? Can I put you on the spot? Wow. Or no?
I'm an ex-athlete. I'm going to compete. Of course I want a legit, difficult question.
All right. Now, you have Alan Hahn with you guys today.
Okay.
You've had Chris Canty with you guys for a long time that you stole from our show. Who do you prefer? Do you prefer Allen or do you prefer Chris?
This is like comparing LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I can't do it. Both guys are incredibly skillful at their position.
I don't like it, Jay.
What do you mean?
I don't like
give
it.
Give us other guy.
What do you mean?
Pick a side.
I mean, listen, even with the LeBron James, Michael Jordan conversation, there are people that's got a number one and there's a number two.
But
who's
CeCe,
number one in your mind,
both,
Jay?
CeCe, they're good people on both sides.
There you go.
You're not going to do it.
There you go.
I said I don't have to ask it. You wanted the question. I asked the question, and now you're avoiding the question.
Yeah, he's punting on the question, Dave. I don't like it.
He's taking the politician route. You know?
What happened to athletes sticking together, man?
We are together, but Han is an ex-athlete, too, just not at your caliber. What? He played basketball.
I don't like you sitting on the fence, Jay Will. It's not a good look for you. I miss you, CeCe.
He's right next to you, isn't he? Han is
sitting right next to Alan right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alan's an athlete, too.
Blink twice, Jay Will.
He's towering over me. Look, you guys put me in a really weird situation. I have two guys who tower over me. I'm only 6'2 out here. All right? I'm Muggsy Bogues.
Oh, yeah. Like 5'4. All right. Go do your thing with your favorite, Alan Han. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys are the worst, Rick. That's bad.
Goodbye.
All right, guys.
That, of course.
What an awful question by you, too.
What do you mean?
Well, we got Jay Will on. I mean, the Knicks just went again.
Well, you didn't ask about the Knicks.
Well, I didn't have time to. You had the last question. I thought you were going to ask a Knicks or Brooklyn question.
No.
Who's your favorite?
You know what? Why does it all have to be such sports with you? Why can't we ever have a little bit of fun?
Well, because I was interested to know what he thought about either Brooklyn or the Knicks, one of the two.
Call him back. He's got 15 minutes. Call him back. You want to ask a rapid round of questions? He might hedge. Who's better, Knicks or Brooklyn? I don't know. They're both really good.
I like both
teams. One's LeBron, one's Michael. I don't know what direction I would go in here.
Oh, my God.
He stopped giving answers.
He did.
He flaked out.
He wanted a tough question. You gave him a tough question, and then he didn't answer said question.
I didn't have to ask it. He wanted it.
He asked for it.
I gave it to him. He couldn't answer it.
He couldn't handle it, Dave.
He had so many outs with the question, too. So many outs with the question.
He should have gone with Canty. Canty's the
one. The other guy sitting with you guys is unbelievable. I love his attitude.
Well, the other guy, too, was there, but it's a whole different skill set, too. I mean, Alan's just telling me he's hosting.
Don't take shots at the host, all right? It's not easy to sit here and keep you guys looking pretty and doing well.
I forgot. You're an ex-athlete, too. I forgot. My apologies. Yep.
What are you giving me our time for?
He did things with the tennis racket, Rico, like hitting other kids on top of the head.
I'm going to need that intensity. I'm going to need that fire when we start this pickleball team. I saw you were watching it with me. You watched the pickleball.
By the way. Chris, why? He texted me. He goes, CBS Sports, pickleball, check it out. And sadly enough, I turned it on for a few minutes. Like, what? No,
that's because you're a good teammate, Dave. You entertained it because you're a good teammate.
And they're breaking it down. They're breaking it down. Like, this guy's the best tennis player who's turned his attention to the world of pickleball. I'm like, I didn't even know there was a world of pickleball.
It's a world, a whole world of pickleball.
Whole
here's
world.
What happens, though, Dave. Sometimes these ex-pro tennis players get themselves in trouble in pickleball because they just try to smash the ball, which is not always conducive to being great
sometimes
at pickleball.
Sometimes you have to play a little finesse, right?
Yeah, you got to be able to layer, like a quarterback, layering his throws. Need some finesse. You got to be multi-versatile here if you're going to be a pickleball star.
Have you played?
No.
But you'd love to.
I've looked
to
at
play.
Pickleball equipment, and I've watched it on television. I feel like we could do it. I mean, it's a lot of reflexes. It looks like fun. You have to do it. I mean, it's not much running.
No,
pretty
no.
Much
I'd
just
be
standing
excellent.
There smashing it at each other.
That's right. But I would think if you just do it over and over and over, you would still get a little winded, no?
No, I mean, here's my goal, is we get some kind of DCR pickleball tournament
yeah.
that we do, and then we spin that off until, and I'll agree to do this with you, a Saturday morning pickleball show.
Really? Before the hockey show?
Yes.
Now, I don't want to step on your toes. I know pickleball is your thing. If they were to offer the pickleball show to me, would you become offended by that?
No, I would just request that I was a co-host, since we'd be we're a pickleball team.
And we would call it the pickleball show. Right.
Well, that's if the original name is taken somewhere, if there's already a copyright on the initial name.
That's right.
Then we would just switch it to the Pickleball Show.
The Pickleball Show.
The Pickleball Show. Sponsored by Vlasic.
Vlasic?
We'll get the, yes, pickle chips to jump aboard. Absolutely. Oh, all right. 800-919-3776. So we addressed the Giants. We addressed the co-hosting between Alan and Chris. Rick, let's address your Jets right now. 800-919-3776. IWAX Poetic on the Giants. I think the Jets had a heck of a draft as well.
Yeah, I think the Jets, I mean, and again, it's going to come down to whether or not Zach Wilson is what we all hope he's going to be. That was the most important pick in this draft. And then, I mean, what you did to support him is, I mean, something Joe Douglas said before this year's draft is, and then even, you know, even with Robert Saleh, I mean, what he said to Zach Wilson, I mean, the team is here to lift you up. We don't need you to carry the burden of being our savior. Like, we're here to make you the best you can be. And I think that's what Joe Douglas tried to do. I mean, trading up to get Elijah Vera Tucker, which, again, I mean, it cost you a couple third-round picks. But for me, the most important thing you can do is solidify the offensive line. And right now, I mean, you look at the left side of that offensive line, you got to feel pretty damn good about it.
No, you do. You do. I mean, being able to have those two guys who should develop into Pro Bowl caliber players, being able to protect your quarterback's blind side, that's everything. I mean, that gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of the protections that you can call, knowing that those guys can be able to consistently hold up in one-on-one drop-back situations. So I think that was huge for them to be able to make that move to get in position to get AVT. And looking at the draft that they had, I mean, I like the fact that after they took Zach Wilson with the second pick, the next three picks off the board go to directly support the quarterback. I mean, you're talking about an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, and a running back. Like, those are going to be players that are going to make Zach Wilson's life easier. So I feel like this regime is focused on making sure they don't repeat the same mistakes that Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan made when they didn't support Sam Darnold after they took him with the third overall pick, which is a huge win.
Yeah, I think they did really well. And there were a lot of people that Elijah Moore is their fourth wide receiver in this draft. And the Jets got him in the second round, and then they took the running back from North Carolina. Now, he's little, but again, you know, you think about running back by committee. That's what they did in San Francisco, and I think that's what they'll do here with the Jets as well. So I love what they did. I really do. Now, you're right, Rick. It all boils down to Zach Wilson. If he's exceptional, you'll be thrilled. If he stinks, this is going to be a bad draft. But I think right now, sitting here, I really like what they did. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get to some of the calls. Eddie in Rockland. Good morning, Eddie. You're on 98.7
ESPN. Hey, guys. How you doing? Well, I'm not a big Wilson guy. I had him the fourth best quarterback. So if I could have traded down and still picked up Fields and got a boatload of picks and took the Clemson running back and stayed at 23 and then moved back up and got the Minnesota offensive guard. He's very good. And then I would have took the tight end that Pittsburgh took. Okay, Pittsburgh knows what they're doing. And I would have started off with Fields, ATN, and the Penn State tight end, and two picks for the offensive line, just like the Steelers did. Running back, tight end, and two offensive line guys, and they would be probably about 500. With Wilson, I think he's going to get killed. I think he has to put up against the Buffalo quarterback. Then he has to meet Mac Jones. And then he has to deal with Darnold this year. It's going to tell a lot about him this
Tua.
Year.
Tua. You met Tua, not Darnold. Darnold's in Carolina. You met Tua in Miami.
And you think Darnold, and you think if you had
Fields, what Sam,
would be,
I get what he's
it
saying.
Would be
all
different.
And what Sam Darnold does up against what Sam Darnold does in Carolina.
but you think if you had Fields, it would just you'd be terrific as opposed to Wilson.
Well, no, he just told you he had Zach Wilson as his fourth best quarterback.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's it.
I'd like to see his full board before I.
He just gave you his full board. I mean, he just gave you his full board.
He sure did.
He just broke it down.
Yeah,
like Freiermuth out of Penn State.
Would have went ETN, and then he would have went Baby Gronk out of Penn State. He's a good-looking tight end, too. No, I did. Listen, they fell in love with Zach Wilson. And this is, again, when you start talking about drafting a quarterback in the first round, it's talent-wise, it's all about what you're looking for, how this guy fits, you know, the scheme you're going to run. What are the different, you know, things you like about the kid, his intangibles and everything else. And most importantly, it's surrounding the kid with a great coaching staff and talent. And that's what Joe Douglas tried to do.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things to keep in mind, Rico, to your point, is that with different schemes, they value different positions differently.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like it's one of those situations where, yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they took Najee Harris in the first round. But with that Shanahan run game, they don't value running backs with high draft picks. They don't. Nope. I mean, look at him when he had Alfred Morris in Washington. Alfred Morris was a 6th-round pick. Or look at Raheem Mostert out in San Francisco. I mean, Raheem Mostert was an undrafted free agent that had bounced around before he stuck on with the 49ers. So, I mean, it's just like they're not going to take a running back with significant draft capital just because in terms of what they want a running back to do, they don't feel like they have to use that high of a pick in order to get a guy that can do the job. Like, so, I hear what Eddie is saying. I know a lot of Jets fans out there wanted the Jets to take Javonte Williams over Elijah Moore in the second round, but you gotta trust – the pieces that are put in place. Trust that Mike LaFleur and Rob Saleh have a plan on how they're going to support Zach Wilson. And in their plan, receiver was more important than taking that running back.
Yep, and they need the receiver. And the quarterback needs the receiver. All right, maybe the top caller on the show. Maybe, possibly, our number one fan. Let's bring him in. Your nephew, Rick, Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, as well as your cousin, as well as Brother Canty's brother. And friend, I mean, come on, dog. How you going to call Brother Canty the other guy? Like, he's a Super Bowl champ, dog. You're supposed to know who he is. I got you, Brother Canty. Don't worry about
it. I appreciate it, Lonnie. I appreciate it.
Of course. He needs to kiss the ring, too, just for that, just like Dave does whenever he loses. But I called in today to talk about the Giants. And Dave and Canty, I'm guessing Dave Gettleman can first trade back. He slipped 1 foot out of one Black Air Force. The second trade back, he slipped his other foot out the other Black Air Forces and put on some white Air Forces, Kent, because he's looking a little trustworthy now because those trade backs were very valuable. Getting Kadarius Toney, I think, was a good thing because, like Rico keeps saying, he brings a different aspect to your wide receiver core. And Rico, I was telling RJ when I called in that you're not the only one. I guess that runs in the family because I'm the same way. I always got to check over everything before I go to sleep. Like, I'll look at my doorknob, and I can see that the door is turned to the left side saying that it's locked. But I still go over there and check it. So don't worry, Uncle Rico.
See, my man, Lonnie.
And, gentlemen, I've done what I came to done. Love you guys.
Thank you, Lonnie. Thank you. He's pandering to you is what he's doing.
No, what do you mean? He said nice things about everybody.
Nobody checks the doorknobs. I never even heard of that as a thing.
Just because you don't deal with it, I mean, it doesn't mean that there's not people out there that deal with it.
Alarm, stove, refrigerator, freezer.
I just have to see that it's locked. Like, I have to do it and physically see that it's locked.
I got to go in and see if the other refrigerator in the garage is closed.
Which I understand, but why you have to check the same thing multiple times is where you lose me. Checking the second fridge, make sure it's closed, fine. Making sure the garage is closed, fine. But why would you check that more than one time?
I've done what I came to done.
Oh, I don't check that one. I mean, I check that one time. The fridge gets checked one time. The freezer gets checked one time because I don't want the ice machine to get screwed up because I need the ice in the morning. And then the only thing I check multiple times is the stove for some reason.
But why?
I don't know.
If the stove is turned off and nobody uses the stove, unless you have gremlins in your home, it should still be off.
I understand that. In theory, that sounds great. But for some reason, I can't break the habit. I tried it.
Time. You know what? I should email Cass and say, just do me a favor one time. Have him check the stove. Then you turn it on. So when he checks it the next time, he's like, oh my God, the stove is on.
He's going to blow a gasket if you do that, Dave.
His mind.
No, he would start checking that, man.
He wouldn't sleep at all.
Not at all.
He would cease to sleep. All he would do is just be checking stuff, doorknobs and garage doors and freezers and ice trays and everything.
Dave, the poor guy doesn't already get any sleep. So, I mean, now it's just going to be like he's talking about sleeping, you know, an hour or two rather than just four or five. Like, why would you want to make him a mess?
I think it's fun.
He thinks it's funny, yeah.
Oh, you'd be being a bad guy. You're a bad guy, Dave. You're a bad guy. For somebody that plays the victim all the time, you're a real bad guy.
It's on brand. He's like Kaiser Sose. That's what he is.
That's right? Exactly who he is.
I got a limp and then I don't. That's right.
And then all of a sudden you're sprinting. You get a 4.340 all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.